since the morning you moved in. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Carroll, CBS News, WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth. Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as...
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
All right. We're back. We're back. We only have an hour. Because the Tar Heels are on today, and their pregame starts at 10. So we will be ending it. And Monica will be with us from the Farmer's Market at 9:30. And we haven't we will continue not to talk anymore about chicken ears and things like that. per the professor at UNC, a former professor at UNC, Herb, he's right. We need to talk more gardening. We kind of get off on tangents sometimes. Well, I apologize. He didn't want to talk about chickens, as you recall. Well, I don't. I think he did that reluctantly, Rufus. So because you asked him a question, and I guess the associate former attorney general was asking the question, he felt like he was on the stand, so he had to answer that truthfully. Question truthfully. Yeah. But yeah, I get off on tangents, and I'm kind of a perfectionist, but I don't run a taut ship sometimes here. We forget that we're doing a show sometimes. You know, you want to hear about gardening, but we don't always talk about gardening. Well, I have to. But you just have to forgive us, because that's the way it'll continue, and as long as I'm doing the show. Well, I'm sure you've had the same thing many times. I have people tell me they've never picked up a shovel or put a plant in the ground, but they like to listen to the show anyway. Yeah, it's so. Just kind of a release, kind of an escape, I hope. That's after I finally started learning what I was doing with this thing, I think became you would after 40 years, Mike. Well, I'm pretty stupid, not very bright. So, it's taken me a while, but you know, there was an initial shock when I started doing the show, but I got into it with, you know, Irv was a great teacher, and we had a good time, and then Ann, of course, and all the great gardeners like we have on this morning have helped so much. But you know, we kind of get off on tangents, but that's fun. Just like Rufus just put on his watermelon glasses, and you know, that just that's very distracting.
I love these glasses, Monica.
I know. You can tell her in less than a half hour, you know, how much you like those and how much you use them as a prop. Did you wear them on Thursday night at any time?
I will wear them Halloween night.
Halloween night. Okay, that's probably a good idea. So, yeah, that's Thursday, in case you didn't realize that Halloween was so close. We're almost at the end of October. It's hard to believe. People want to prune all times of year. Is there anything we can prune right now, guys?
Well,
boys,
if you just had some encore azaleas finish up blooming.
Oh, mine just bloomed throughout the fall and into the winter.
I mean, that's one of the things you could put a little light pruning on. There are a fair number of things I think you can still prune now. I don't like to prune stuff when you get into December and January, evergreen stuff, because I sometimes worry about, you know, you have a little warm-up and it tries to put on growth and then it bites them back. But it certainly is a lot cooler, and it's a lot better than pruning in July and August.
Dead gum right.
In a lot of regards. There. I always wait later before I cut back roses. For me, I always did all that in February. I wanted to make sure that they were completely dormant before I did that. There are a number of things that is too early. I think it's too early for fruit trees and grapevines and things of that. Those are all things that you want to kind of do in the dead of winter, January or February. Yep. But if you've got, you know, some Laura Pedlums or something that are just growing out, you certainly can go back.
I think hydrangeas back then. I usually, about 2 weeks from now, prune back the hydrangeas because the little buds are setting when I know the flower's going to be for next year. Right. And I'm not like Ann used to talk about. She would spray paint.
Well, those are the PG hydrangeas, limelight.
Dried flower boom spray.
That's kind of nice. Gold and silver or some colors.
Yeah, I remember Ann loved to talk about that, dear Ann.
Yeah.
But yes. I have one called the strawberry thing that's grown into a 6-foot tree. And the more I prune it, the taller it gets.
So it's not spreading out?
It's not spreading out. It just goes to the sky.
Does it look?
It never turns strawberry, the hydrangea.
Huh. And
I don't think it's a PG, but it's supposed to be strawberry-colored bloom.
Right, that's right.
But it never gets over being green and whitish. So I thought, I'll teach you next year. So I went on down on that thing a little bit, and I think it helps it to prune it, though.
Oh, yeah, reinvigorates, puts on new growth. There are not as many things in the fall. I mean, there are lots of things you wouldn't want to prune in the spring that are, you know, are going to bloom in the summertime. Right, and often you cut the buds out before you can see them. I think that's a pretty common mistake.
I was thinking, Rufus, the hydrangea, if it is a PG, don't they like a little more sun? Maybe it's not getting enough sun.
It is under pecan tree. I think you've got something there.
That could be, you could have some bearing with that.
Those
in the oak leaves can take a lot more sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it may be something to do with temperature, too, if the color's not turned. I know that has to do with fruit sometimes. I've got one
in the sun, and it's not turned either. It just stays white.
Oh. Well, but that's supposed to be the white and pink, you know, kind of like a Sunday or something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Sunday. Just a limelight and was not tagged appropriately.
I know my limelight. Gerald, Mike gave me one about 20 years ago.
For your 70th birthday.
Yes.
So that's 13 years ago, Rufus.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, Lordy.
Almost 14 years ago.
Oh, my.
It seems like yesterday.
Tempest
fugit. And I was talking to Don Shea. God love him. Rest his soul. Goodness. One of my favorite people in the world. I think that was the last time I saw Don.
Yep.
Was that your party?
Had good Don help form the Jim Valvano Kids Classic.
Worked for Coach V for a long time.
For years and years and years. Mm-hmm. It raised a lot of money for the cancer.
Great broadcaster.
Kids at
Great, great sportsman.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Johnny, what do you tell the master gardeners, and in turn, what do they tell the public about pruning in the fall?
Well, you do have to be a little careful. I think now we're probably past the point where you would have to worry about them flushing back out. So, like Gerald said, the lower petalums, and if you had a privet hedge or something like that, that you needed to get it back in under control. I don't think you'd have to worry about that. So that would be fine.
When you say privet, ligustrum?
Yeah, ligustrum. Yeah, the Japanese, mm-hmm. more so than Chinese. But
yeah.
They still have some people.
Because there's some privet that I don't want to grow.
yeah, the Chinese privet. But speaking of hydrangeas, one thing that a lot of people do call me in the summertime and say their hydrangeas didn't bloom. And I'm talking about the mop head hydrangeas. They prune them because they look like sticks in the wintertime, and people like to prune them. They don't like the way it looks. So they prune them back pretty hard, and then you are pruning your blooms off for the following season if you do that.
So many of them bloom on old wood.
Old wood, yeah.
Yeah, I
so
never go back on the mop head. Never go back more than a quarter.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, it gets complicated because there are different times to
especially
prune
in the
hydrangeas.
Yeah.
That was one of the great introductions from Endless Summer, the mop head, because it blooms both, new and old.
Right.
Yeah. It's so like the encore.
You can keep that in a tighter kind of shape, and you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I've eliminated almost a year's worth of blooms.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, you mentioned the encore. I'm always afraid to do the fall blooming that I might mess up something for the spring. And so I just wait on my encores. I wait till the spring.
And right after they bloom, touch them. Mm-hmm. That's as good a way as any.
Yeah. That's usually what I recommend. Right after the spring bloom, if you don't want to prune them, then they'll still bloom in the late summer.
There's so many of the encores now don't get 2.5 foot tall, 3 foot tall. I mean, you hardly
don't get as big.
You don't. There's very little pruning required ever.
I want to ask you something. I have so many old fashioned azaleas, the Formosa, and they're spring bloomers. They are blooming like crazy and have been for 3 weeks. Tell me what has happened.
I'm sorry, I missed the...
The old-fashioned azaleas, Formosa.
Oh.
That are blooming
now. Yeah, I have...
blooming now.
I have seen that. I don't know.
Maybe they didn't take the daylight savings or global
yeah,
warming.
Nobody does.
Or hurricanes no telling what.
Some of them just don't read the book.
I did clean out an area where I had... Oh, gosh, the word, Leland Cypress. Took down about 5 of them and opened it up, and maybe that sudden addition of sunlight did something to make them bloom. I love it, but I hope they'll bloom again this spring.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They're maybe 10 feet tall.
Maybe you invented an encore azalea.
Yes.
We've got some hydrangeas that are blooming for the second time, and I don't know if it's not all the rain we had in September, late in the season, we had some good rain. That they put on another flush, and they're blooming on that flush.
So. They just don't know what to do. It's like us with the weather. It's just we don't know how to adapt. But I'll tell you, the encore azaleas and the type that all the types that rebloom, they're more than encore, are a great investment. I mean, you really get your money's worth if you have them planted in the right place. And I guess I do. And it's amazing. They kind of surround a large pine, and you would think, but they're shallow rooted, and it doesn't seem to bother them that this big pine tree is, sucking the life out of the ground and getting all the moisture. Mm-hmm. But they just thrive, and the blooming, I guess, does mean a little bit of stress.
Well, they do. That's two things that both like acidic soil, the pine trees, and so they're happy together.
Yes, right.
In that regard.
Yeah. And the azaleas are going to be fairly shallow rooted, and the pine's going to go a little deeper, so they're not competing maybe quite as strong.
That pine's got taproot, too.
Yeah. But
what about under a holly tree that mine have not done as well? Is there something there that's not a good combination?
Maybe it's too much shade.
Well,
yeah, maybe
they like to see a little bit.
They like filtered light.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a pine is going to be limbed so much taller. Yeah, if the holly's limbed down lower, then it may be a lot less light getting to the actual plant.
Yeah.
And the holly might be a little more fibrous root system, maybe more competition there for nutrients.
You might need to get your people to move those plants, Rufus.
Probably easier to move the azaleas than the holly.
Yeah. Well, I'm not recommending that. I'm sure it's a big holly.
Since that holly's about 75 years old.
Yeah.
I think we'll.
Of course, we do have to be a little careful with azaleas in sun because they seem to get lace bugs worse since they're in the sun. So.
Get Palmer to move those azaleas.
Well, I'm just going to worry about them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about
them. We'll see what happens.
Well, trim back the holly a little bit. Can you do that?
Well, I've got about as high as I can reach on the limbs.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we've done all the diagnosis we can do with that.
Maybe I should just be satisfied and let it all go. Yeah.
Well, if it's bothering you that much, certainly. But it's probably not bothering you that much.
I'm thinking it's not.
Yeah. It's not. No, that one's not.
Do a true...
It bothers me that I have a little tiny 1-foot-tall camellia that I've had there for 10 years, and it's not grown 1 inch.
No kidding. Do you know what variety?
I don't. And I got it from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. I know it was supposed to be miniature, but that's taking it to the extreme.
Well, I mean, okay, that's...
It's about eight inches tall.
Move it.
Yeah, try it
somewhere. Could give you the perfect extension answer, and that's do a soil test.
Well, you should have left it, in a pot.
It's horrible soil. Nothing but clay.
You should have left it in a pot.
Have you fertilized it any?
Bone meal.
That's what Miss Clapp would say.
I'm going to black cow a little bit here this fall.
All right.
Yeah.
What else should we be doing in the fall here this time of the month and
year?
Well,
a lot of people think about composting this time of year because you got your gardens are
going to be blowing some leaves here.
Blowing leaves.
That's true. Now, don't think that you're going to be able to put compost all over your yard from what you make, but it is a great hobby.
Yeah.
Part of the gardening hobby is to learn how to make it.
Knowing what not to put in there and diseased plants that you had trouble with this spring or the summer, you probably don't want to add them to your compost pile.
And
weed seeds.
Leave the meat out.
yeah, no dairy products, no meat.
You can put some eggshells in there.
Eggshells are good. Eggshells are good. But
you need some greens. You need some browns.
Yeah. You got to have the carbon and nitrogen ratio.
What else?
That's right. Used to, I don't know, you may still be able to buy the compost starters at the stores. You know, you buy this bag of stuff. But,
well, that kind of defeats the purpose of making your own compost, doesn't it?
All you need is a shovel full of soil. Just go out in your backyard and get a shovel full of soil and throw in a compost pile, and that's got your microorganisms there. It's going to get you started. So.
And you need to turn it. You don't have to have a big container or anything. You can make a pile, but you've got to get you a pitchfork or something. And
We've got a compost, and I say we, my wife has a compost pile behind a shed we have there, and it's just two piles. We have a fresh pile and then the pile that's ready to use, and just turn it every, I don't know, not that often, but
yeah. And don't put, some people just like doing it. They really want to dress a yard, and they put the leaves, blow the leaves out to the street. Mm-hmm. For the city to take back to the landfill to make compost.
Well, you need to go buy.
And sell it.
Yeah.
So, Ann used to point out the word is leave. Leave it.
Yeah, we run over ours with a mulching mower, and we actually will get them into a bed that's a natural area that we've got in the front yard. And we've got an oak tree and maple tree, a couple of maple trees, and we'll just bring them all over there and pile them up and then just run over them with a mulching mower, and it makes a great mulch right on top of that bed.
Yeah.
They just by the spring.
Now, you probably need to get a soil test every once in a while anyway, but that the leaves are going to make it a little more acidic, aren't they?
They'll add organic matter and could affect the pH. It depends on the leaf. It depends on what the leaf is.
But blow them in the natural areas, and I much prefer that. Plus, you get on some of these city streets or neighborhood streets in Raleigh and any little town, and people pile up their leaves so much you can't even drive. You got one lane road, at that point. Mm-hmm. So be careful about that too. But I'd use them. Yeah. You know, some of my leaves blow out in the street, but and sometimes I'll bring them back in. But you know, I like to use them.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good resource for composting. But yeah. You know, moisture, you need to check. You know, keep an eye on your moisture level. And if something's going wrong, if a lot of people say their compost pile smells, it doesn't smell good or something, and something's not right.
That's right.
Usually you get an anaerobic condition, some sort of. So it's either too wet. Or you're just not getting enough air in there. If it's not
add a little lime out. To it.
You don't want to add lime.
You don't want to add lime
to the
compost pile.
Nitrogen, if it's not breaking down maybe fast enough, you may have too much of the carbon and not enough nitrogen. Carbon being the browns that you're putting in, and not enough of the nitrogen.
Just like everything, it's nitrogen. A balance.
It is. But bone meal, blood meal is a good nitrogen source to put on there, because blood meal is like 0, 12, 0.
Don't do that if you got 12, a dog.
Don't do it around dogs. By the way, I feel like a very wealthy person because I have a dump truck load of mulch that I had delivered. So you talk about Palmer and I are going to have us a good time building little moats around a moat around a castle, around all of my shrubbery and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But I find that people that throw away leaves that live where they can use them, I just don't understand it. They're wonderful.
Yeah,
they're just not attractive to some people. They'd rather have the nice mulch or pine straw, and I understand that. But this is the same thing.
Pine straw is something you don't want to put in your compost because they don't deteriorate very quickly. It's so waxy coating, they don't deteriorate. And the probably the magnolia leaves, unless you mulch the.
Don't get Rufus talking about magnolias.
Well, we've got two magnolias in our front yard, and we don't have a lot of leaves, but we let the limbs come all the way to the ground,
and they drop up under the tree. Once you limb it up, it's all over.
Yeah. But Rufus contends that they grow into the ground and sprout.
I'm a limb it up man on magnolias. I've had too many of them touch the ground, and then grow into huge trees to cut out and have to transfer over into the woods. I'm going to go the opposite way, Johnny. I'm letting those limbs touch the ground.
Just the wind will blow those leaves out from underneath there. So then, they will sprout. You'll get a colony underneath the canopy.
Oh yes.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We're not much more. We only have a half hour today because the Tar Heels are going to be playing at noon, and their pregame show starts at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to Monica Wood, manager of the State Farmers Market, coming up on the WPTF Weekend Gardener.
Wednesday night, I got a telephone call. They were having a monster movie ball. The boy said, man, if you're feeling brave, hurry on out to the coconut grave. 12 o'clock, we're all going to rock at the monster movie ball.
Okay.
All right.
Rufus, thank you for that rendition. I appreciate that.
Oh, boy. I enjoyed that.
We're back on the Weekend Gardener. You know, Halloween's coming up. That's why we're playing that. I wrote to Andrea Lane this morning. She says, she lives up around Bakersville, up in Mitchell County, and was affected by the storm. And I was just checking them. She says, we're doing better. Power has been restored. Still no internet service. So many people... us included, bought Starlink, mixed reviews on that, but it is helping. Roads have improved, but people are still sad. Dramatic changes to the landscape. So that's Andrea Lane. I haven't heard from Craig Lahoulier. I did send him an email this morning, but I think things are a little better around Hendersonville, but I know that when I talked to him the first, you know, right after it on that Saturday morning, they were pretty well cut off from things. But we, our prayers are with all of those folks up there, and there are areas. If you love the mountains, there are areas that you know, to just check in with your favorite places, the hotels and venues. But there are places in the mountains that would love to have you come up, and including the Christmas tree people later on. Buy a Christmas tree. That's a big campaign this year. Buy a fresh Fraser fir from the North Carolina mountains that will help the economy of Western North Carolina, and we want to do that. All right, 919-860-9783. Before we talk to Ms. Monica, I want to talk about a little history in southern Wake County. And Rufus, you haven't been doing business with the Ashworth Clothing people in Fuquay since 1937, but
no, not
for
quite,
for a long time.
But ever since I've been in Raleigh since 1974.
Yeah, and I get so. Did you know Skinny and Jimmy?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Skinny and of course, yeah. It was started by a Rufus and a Cornelia. Ashworth.
I am glad to hear that. Learn that
Ashworth's Clothing, and well, you talk about elegance. In history, they've got it. Three generations of clothiers. Skinny and Jimmy were the next generation, and then Steve Ashworth is Jimmy's son, and he's been running it for many years. And they carry all the great brands that you've heard of for so long. Beautiful suits from Hart, Schaffner, and Marks, and also. You know, shirts from Gitman Brothers, Southern Tide, Robert Talbot, the Barber Outdoor Clothing and Outerwear, and Peter Millar. He makes so many different things. Allen Edmonds Shoes are just some of the many, many brands, and they are stocked so full of suits and ties and shirts and shoes and everything that a elegant long time. I recall Rosenblum's and Levy's in Rocky Mount and those beautiful stores and for women and for men and you know the Nowells of Raleigh and so all these great families that had these beautiful clothing stores, and the Ashworths are of that ilk.
It's worth driving down there, Mike.
It certainly is. They are at. They are in South Main Street. So they have Fuquay has two main streets. They have Broadway. Is it Broadway or no?
Is one Fuquay and the other Verena?
That's right. Yeah. But South Main Street, 210 South Main Street is where you'll find Ashworth Clothing. And if you want to dress up and you want somebody to give you personal service, somebody who knows how to measure clothing and to make it fit well, and to match clothing, this is a place to go. You don't want to walk around with a blue suit on all the time, do you?
No.
Or a dull tie?
Mike, we had a ball at the Capitol, and my friend Steve came that night dressed in a cape.
Wow.
Brother Steve.
Oh, wow.
It was a sight to see.
And, you know, this is troublesome for the the Chitlin Club, but tuxedos, if you want to deck out in a properly fitted tuxedo or any of the accessories, oh, yeah. Ashworth is the place to
go. If you're required to wear one.
If you were required to wear one, yes, there are exceptions in the Chitlin Club.
But there are other times when people just voluntarily do it, like the man sitting across here,
yeah, well,
directing the orchestra of the Weekend Garden
it was an
time.
Evening wedding, sir.
Well, right, you weren't one? Required to wear one, though, and you admitted it, and you got admonished and took it like a man.
Well, there were a lot of them. There were a lot of tuxes there.
Yeah, but they're not members of the Exalted Chitlin Club.
I wasn't thinking, sir. I think I told a highway patrolman that one time. I wasn't thinking. All right, Miss Monica, bail us out here.
Good morning.
Good morning. She didn't know what to say. Yeah. Is it my turn? Well, you know about one thing we were talking about was those Christmas trees. I'm sure you've been in contact with the folks up there.
Yes, and we will still have plenty of Christmas trees. So, and they'll be here before you know it. I tell you, in pretty much less than a month, we'll have Christmas trees rolling into the market. And so definitely support those guys. You know, that's one of the small ways that you can do so, because we do have a lot of Christmas tree growers that come in to our market every year that are, you know, coming in from the mountains, and basically they spend the whole month down
they
here,
sure do
their trees. And just like I say, one of the least things that you can do is, you know, just buy a fresh North Carolina Christmas tree this year and support, show your support to them. And we have some, you know, folks that are at the market too that have North Carolina pumpkins and apples and so many other things that are coming in right now from the mountain area. So be sure to come out and support them as well. The apples have been absolutely delicious so far. There's various varieties that you can choose from. There's apple cider, there's dried apples, and nothing better than a good fresh apple.
I know that you know, we Rufus and I have both been doing business with the Taylorsville folks. So other areas represented of the mountains there? Or?
Yes, there are. Some from towards the Hendersonville area, and oh gosh, I can't think right this minute, but I know the Brushy Mountains, which of course is the Taylorsville area.
Yep.
And yeah, so we do have a few different ones that are represented. I guess we have about four or five different farmers that are selling, you know, North Carolina mountain apples. So
is that less than you normally have? That fewer?
No. No.
Okay, about the same. Well, that's good.
About the same, yeah.
That's
maybe
great.
A few more, actually. So, great selection still of those. And, you know, it's a good time. You can make applesauce and apple butter and all kinds of good things that you can keep over.
Apple Jacks.
Apple fritters.
Apple fritters, yeah.
Apple pie. All those things.
Apple pie.
How about S&T's Apple Jacks?
Yeah, they make good Apple Jacks. And Rufus had one with some Alamode, some vanilla ice cream on it. Ooh, man.
Yes. And, you know, our Market Bakery also makes Apple Jacks. They have those
they sure
on
do.
A regular basis, as well as sweet potato jacks. They get creative and do them with sweet potatoes as well. And they're very good. They even have ice cream, so you can probably get a scoop of ice cream on there too, maybe.
That'd be good. Yeah, get you a big cup and put Apple Jack down in there and cover it with ice cream. How's that? Rufus, I would get that all over you, wouldn't you?
All over me.
Man, you'd have to bring out the Rufus bib.
Yeah, that's something you should market, Rufus, is bibs.
Yeah.
Or aprons. Well, I'm an advocate of aprons because I'm same way. My 5 and 3 year old grandsons are no worse than I am at the table with dropping peas or something like that.
Man, well, most of the time it's just so good and you just kind of get lost in it, you know, and sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself, but that's not the look I get from Melissa.
Back in the day, Monica, when you wore a tie every day, I found a plastic sheath to put on the top of my tie when I would go eat.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I'd like to have seen that.
Yeah.
You wear those at council estate meetings?
Any time I'd go eat a bite, I'd slip that baby on there. And I can't even find it now.
Well, maybe Ashworth Clothing has that, too. Or
he would be mad about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep that food off your tie.
Steve would be mad about such a desecration of a tie.
I'm sure. All these beautiful ties they have. So how is the Asheville State Farmers Market doing?
They're doing good. They're still in operation. They're open. Of course, you know, things are a little different as far as with some of their vendors, but they are still open, and they are also operating a man of food distribution from the market.
Yeah.
That's been doing that almost since day one. And, you know, they didn't really have a lot of damage. They had a little bit, I think, to maybe a roof or something of that nature, and have really come out of it well. But they've been working hard helping their neighbors and helping farmers in that area, trying to still move product. And we've worked best we can in our direction with, you know, some of our wholesalers that are on our market, also purchased some things from the farmers that they are, because, you know, when it happens, they didn't have any storage, and they, you know, they had stuff they had harvested, or, you know, they were still trying to harvest in some of the areas that didn't get as hard, and, you know, of course, they just didn't have the customers. So everybody's come together across the state and have really helped each other, and it's been awesome to see in the community and, you know, in the farm community, and just, it's been wonderful. It really has, to see all the things that people have done and contributed, and their time, effort, and energy in order to help each other out.
Well, we certainly have in this state tops in emergency management and in the agriculture departments. Just unbelievable how good they all those folks are. So I'm glad you're working hand in hand. Are you through with butter, beans, and peas?
You know, I had a farmer just this week sent me a photo and said, we're picking peas this week. So we had a late crop that's made it. And so it's one of those things you may sporadically find, but not, of course, in the abundance that you do.
Yeah. I had some purple hull this week, but from the farmer's market.
Yes.
They were good.
So, and even sweet corn, as I was gathering items for the displays that we do out at the state fair, we had a farmer that had a late crop of sweet corn. And again, it's probably not the same quality as what you get, you know, in the peak of the summer months, but it's still good, still sweet, good corn. So you can still find a lot of our summer products down and out and around through the market. We have tomatoes still coming in. We've got peppers and eggplants. Those peppers, every, I say flavor, but really, from the sweet to the heat, I guess you could say, every strength in heat, I guess is a good way to put it. You can put them as hot as you want them or as sweet as you want them. They have all the different varieties still available. And still squash and zucchini, cucumbers, those types of things coming in. And don't know if there's any down there, but any day now, if not, I'm expecting some of the tunnel-grown strawberries. I forgot to check on those, but I'll get back with you guys on that. But those are going to be coming in any time now.
All right.
And we usually have those all through the winter months.
Sure do.
So that's always something to look forward to. Firewood is something right now that people are stocking up on because we're having the cool mornings and cool nights. And it's always good to have that on hand with North Carolina weather. You just never know when you might need it. So we do have firewood available. We still have some beautiful cut flowers available. The honey, the local honey. And fresh salsa, all kinds of jarred items like your jams, jellies, pickles, preserves, that sort of thing you can find all through the market. We have a great selection of local meats and cheeses also. And we still have lots and lots of pumpkins. I think I mentioned those a little bit earlier, but you can find those all shapes and sizes. There's gourds, there's bales of wheat straw to help you put together as last-minute fall decorations. And the thing about the fall decorations, you can enjoy them right on through Thanksgiving, not just Halloween. Sometimes everybody gets lost in pumpkins just being jack-o'-lanterns, but they're beautiful right on up through Thanksgiving. So have some beautiful mums available, as well as pansies and kale, cabbage, shrubbery, those sorts of things. And while you're down in the pumpkin area, I want to mention we have a special treat. I'd say for kids, but really for anyone of all ages, we have a miniature gemstone mine set up, and that's from Grasshopper Farms, which is part of Logan's trading company. That's going to be our new tenant over at the Garden Center area. They have that set up down there, and you can do gemstone mining, and I believe if you stop by and do the gemstone mining with them, you may get a coupon to go out to the Grasshopper Farms to enjoy their corn maze and that sort of thing. So learn about them and what they offer, and they can probably tell you a little bit about what they have planned for with the Garden Center.
That's a wonderful place over there near Knightdale. At Broadwell store that they renovated, and they have a corn maze there that's very intricate, that was designed by a former extension agent.
And I carried Henry through it last week, or let me say he carried me through it.
How long did it take you to get through it?
We got through pretty reasonable. I don't think we got sidetracked but two or three times. But
you didn't have to shoot a flare up?
No, we didn't have to shoot a flare. We made our way out.
A flag up. Well, that's good.
We're veterans. We don't carry the pole with the flag on it.
Oh, okay.
We'll find our way out one way or the other.
Henry's a real he-man. Maybe the commissioner ought to consider y'all have little demonstration gardens out there. Maybe he should grow some corn. And corn crop this year, that was about the only good thing, is to have a corn maze, because the crop wasn't very good. But maybe he should consider a corn maze out there on some of that acreage at the farmer's market.
You never know what's ahead.
Yeah, that's from the farmer's market manager. So, yeah, that's true. You just never know.
That spot there where you grew that cotton that year, I love that. That'd be a good corn maze.
That's right.
Yeah, we have a lot of brainstorming that's been going on. I'll just say it that way. And we've got some different ideas and things in the future. So, as everybody, you know, just stay tuned with the market. You just never know what we may have. And we always try to do everything we can to bring the farm experience here to the city so everybody can come out and enjoy right here in Raleigh to see, you know, some of the great things that are available out on our farms, but here close by. So you can come out and shop with all of our farmers and learn a little bit about how things are grown and be able to deal directly with the farmer. That's one of the great things about a farmer's market, is having that I guess you could say farm to fork experience, being able to know where your food's coming from and talk to those who grow it.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got some restaurants out there that just, you know, it's farm to fork and, ooh, it's such good food. The farmer's market restaurant, of course, the market grill with a Rufus dog. And seafood with Kemp's out there.
Ate there last night, seafood.
Oh, yeah. My. Yes.
Did you take some
home?
How
much you take home, Gerald?
No, I eat like a hog. I didn't care.
You had to be. You had to be.
P-I-G hog.
That was a hog.
There was none to take home.
Do we have the fall craft fair coming up, Monica?
We do. It's coming up.
I bet I know who'll be there.
Yes.
Might be Gerald.
Yes, we hope to see Gerald here. And it's going to be the 15th, 16th, and 17th. I'm not looking at my calendar, but I think I got the dates right. It's the weekend after Veterans Day. So we're looking forward to having that, and lots of great vendors here. And tell you, I'm sitting here now looking at, there's several different craft vendors that are here today. A lot of unique crafts, and we have them setting up in various different areas on the market. So when you come out and shop around, of course, there's the big long building with all the fruits and vegetables and pumpkins, and make sure to make your way over towards the seafood restaurant, because there's a lot of craft vendors set up in between the two buildings, as well as down at our Market Depot craft shed area where the kettle corn is, and there's fresh gourmet lemonade in there. There's also the handmade baskets, and just so much more. We have the folks there with the spices, and they have a huge selection of spices there. And of course, seafood restaurants right here beside it. Nahunta Pork Center is just behind there. And if you've never been by Nahunta, you know, great place to come out and shop for your pork products. They have a great selection. And there's various other vendors all throughout the market with other meat products as well. And our market shops is right here in the heart of it all, with your hoop cheese, your old-fashioned drinks. There's fresh seafood, 3-2-1 coffee, the grill, and so much more.
You know, Gerald has these beautiful bottles, and he paints them in wine bottles and puts lights in them. They're very decorative, real fun. What you should do, Gerald, is...
Oh, I'm sitting down. Go ahead.
You need an unopened bottle you need to sell unopened bottles of wine and have the accessory package and instructions for the lights so you can light up and get lit.
I'll just stick with painting the empty ones, and yes, I will be at the fall craft fair.
You'd have to get an alcohol license.
That's right. We'd have to have Big John help us get a license.
Oh, me. Did we leave anybody out? Miss Monica?
Well, Superside.
Superside, yeah. People are throwing out that fescue. That's about the best way to do it now. Don't try to seed. Go to Superside and get some sod.
Instant gratification.
Instant gratification, yeah.
That's right. And they have, you know, the little plot down there where you can see all the different varieties that they produce and that they sell, and they have all different lawn care products, those big bags of compost mix. So if you're looking to do some new plantings, they can help you out and get you in the right direction. And just great time to come out to the market. I will mention also we're going to have a Korean food festival on November the 9th. So that's something else to mark your calendars with. That's really always a fun time. And
there'll be the Korean version of the Rufus dog there.
Probably. Oh, yeah. I had it pretty good. Pretty good.
That's right.
They had some costumes there, too, as I recall.
Yeah, you went out there last year.
I did a Korean dance.
That's right. He did. He did come out and enjoy last year. And so we're looking forward. They'll have a lot of those different activities going on. And so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have put a little costume on you, Rufus.
Oh, how so?
You can go to the dance.
Yeah.
Monica, thank you very much for enduring this and for joining us.
Of course, and thank you guys, and you all have a great day. Come see us if you're making a trip to the fair. Of course, the last day is tomorrow for that, but you can always make a pit stop by the market. We're conveniently located just off I-40, exit 297, and we are open 7 days a week.
Yes, ma'am. Have a great day and great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right. The Peppers, your website for
Gerald and Henry's Plants.com. You can also email me Gerald and Henry's Plants at gmail.com. And I'm rapidly saving seed. I bought 2 greenhouses last week. I'm going tomorrow to take one
Good
of them.
Good gracious,
down.
How many greenhouses
well,
do you have
I'm
now?
I'm only going to put up one more, I think. I'm going to put a fifth up starting on it as soon as I can get it taken down, which is begin tomorrow.
Have you ever seen the movie The Thing from the 1950s? Yeah. And they had a laboratory in there, and they had these things growing up.
I'm not quite to that point.
Okay, well, I know that you've got some mad scientist stuff going on out there.
But yeah, I'm ready. I'm gonna add herbs next year.
Oh,
I
wow.
I grew about 8 kinds Good of basil you. This year, and that's the reason for greenhouse number 5. So I'm going to have a full range of that as well in the same size pots and all. So that's been getting all the seed and all that rounded up. And I made friends this year with a number of pepper fanatics who brought me some plants that I've grew out this year to save seed, and I'm going to add a lot more crazy kind of peppers next year and a lot more hot ones, and one that the guy tells me is hotter than Carolina Reaper, and somebody else will have to tell me that.
We'll get Rufus to try that.
Oh, my gosh.
RB003 is the name of it.
Oh, man, that's got a skull and crossbones.
A couple Tabasco peppers.
Yeah, well.
That is what my brother-in-law says makes the best sauce of any, and I have a hard time getting plants. And how do you get
it? I grow them every year.
I know. What I got was from you. But I can't get them to ripen before frost to any degree.
Well, you're not getting enough sun. You got to put them somewhere getting more sun, because if you plant them middle of April, 1st of May, you should have peppers way before Labor Day.
Johnny, thank you, my friend, for trekking down from the Creedmoor area and our best of your master gardeners there in Granville in person. And Brother Rufus, any parting words?
Yeah, be the person your dog thinks you are.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing in this day and age. So do what your dog tells you to do. If you can figure that out.
That's normally your wife.
Oh, wait a minute, Rufus.
Whoa. I didn't call my wife a dog. I'm sorry. Oh, that's bad.
They had a livestock show recently in Granville County, and the slogan on the back of the T-shirt said, "Practice like you've never won and perform like you've never lost." So that's
we'll see you next week on Weekend Gardening.